This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3377 for Tuesday, the 13th of July 2021. Today's show is entitled Chromebook Support and More. It is hosted by ZenFloater2 and is about 17 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is I've run into disaster using my Chromebook.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Alright, boys and girls, time for another episode of ZenFloater, former human being converted into squirrel in the 1960s by aliens, audio, I don't know, podcast or whatever. And I've decided to do another one on the Chromebook here. I'm using the Google Chromebook Go, the big one with the i7 and 16 gigabytes of RAM, and I don't know. What is it, a half a terabyte SSD or whatever it's got in there. Anyway, it's a monster, and I've been using it for a while. And I decided I would do a Hacker Public Radio first. We're going to record a podcast while I take a bath in the bathtub. So let's get the water going here. And hopefully you can hear the water. I'm going to go ahead and close the drain there. And we're letting the water fill the bathtub. Now, I've enjoyed using these Chromebooks, but I just wanted to comment on all Chromebooks. Like you know, I've got two of them. I've got an Acer that's like a year and a half older than this one. And already the Acer Chromebook that has the N3700 processor, I believe it is, 4-core processor, and 4 gigabytes of RAM, and a really small, I don't want to call it SSD. It's just like a USB flash drive of some kind they put in there. That thing already can't install 3 applications from the Android Google Play Store. They're already dropping support from the Android side for that Chromebook. So I'm probably starting to look at converting that particular Chromebook into a Linux laptop of some kind in the near future, because I believe they already have worked out a conversion for that particular model to get it away from Chrome OS. So I did not get a full 4 years worth of use out of that Acer before they just decided to quit supporting it. In pieces anyway. I mean, by and large, I can still get Chrome OS updates and everything else works. It's just that the Android Play Store is failing. So I'm figuring this Google Chromebook Pro Go, whatever you call it, the big one that I bought here, the expensive one, will probably go the full 4 years or 5 years, however many years I've got to support before the PlayStation Play Store starts dropping support for it, hopefully. And when they do, hopefully they'll figure out how to do a conversion to this. It'd be great if I could run both of them in Faguita, which I'm going to be looking into in the next month or two of booting Faguita on the Acer anyway, and see if I can run Faguita in it and just use it sort of as a dumb terminal, which would be good for me. I've also wanted to make note that OpenBSD 6.9 did release on May 1st or thereabouts, and we've been using it now for a little over a month. It's a decent release. There's been a lot of improvements to it, and I've been using the new Faguita 6.9, which Kawamoto has been keeping patched. We're up to patch 8 now in the OpenBSD security architecture for AMD, i386, and ARM. And I liked that. And I decided I would experiment with a couple of other USB live thumb drive operating systems that just recently came out that caught my attention. And one of which is known as Anti-X. And Anti-X, and I think it's 19 point something or another. Was it 19.2 or 19.3? I can't remember. Just came out. And I downloaded that, the 64-bit version. They also have a 32-bit version. And that is a really nice desktop with three separate window managers you can choose from, I believe. It's based on that Debian Buster. They do not use systemd. They're using, I think it's, I'm not sure what init they're using. I thought it was sysv init, but maybe I'm wrong on that. It could be OpenRC, but they're not using systemd. And they did a really nice job of it. You know, when you add programs, they show up on the menus. You know, they wrote a script to make sure that they show up on the menus. And it's really quite nice what they've done with it. I approve of it. I like to run Dillo occasionally, and I was surprised to notice, well, not really surprised, but anyway, just wanted to make note that if you run Dillo, you'll find that they put a bunch of bookmarks in there for various communist sites, which, you know, and Antifa sites, which are kind of unusual for someone like me, being from Oklahoma, to watch. But anyway, it provided some color to it, and it lets you know who is developing it. And I think they really did a great job, and big pat in the back to them. And I'd recommend it to anybody that likes a Linux USB distribution, you know, live USB distribution. It worked out well, and I even installed it to the hard drive on one of my other laptops, and I used it for a week, and it worked pretty good. The next live USB distro that I tried was Nomad BSD. And Nomad BSD just made a release of their 130 version, which is a actually based on FreeBSD 13.0, their 130 release. And that gives you the new ZFS file system, the one that they're going to standardize on, that is the same one that's found in Linux now, since they're developing ZFS outside of FreeBSD and porting it to other operating systems from there. And so you get the use of that. You can, when you boot that USB OS up, it asks you to create a live storage area in your USB stick, and it uses whatever space is left available and creates an encrypted storage area for your home directory, which I thought was also very nice of them to do. They also offer a live installation of the hard drive, which you can install either UFS, the old file system, or ZFS using the new standardized ZFS, the new open architecture supported ZFS. And I installed that to a laptop and rather liked it. And it had a lot of support for commercial drivers, too, on the market that you couldn't get with Antix-X, because, unfortunately, a lot of the commercial manufacturers for communication drivers and things like that, they're now requiring you to have an operating system that has systemd. So they're not going to be supporting Devwan or Void Linux or Gentoo or anything like that that doesn't use systemd, any operating system that doesn't use systemd, which I thought was pretty piggish of a lot of these companies. But they're literally standardizing, they're literally mandating that you're going to have systemd. So, but FreeBSD does have a driver support for a cornered portion of commercial support. By the way, Void Linux has a little bit too. You know, there's a little bit of support for Void Linux under Runit, which may translate over into Runit on Devwan, I'm not sure. haven't tried it on some of these drivers. But at any rate, the other thing that is great about Nomad BSD was they have the ability for you to set up Google Chrome on there. And how they do it is they install a copy of, I believe it's Ubuntu 18.04, and in jail for you with the click of a button, and then download Chrome and set it up, and it works. And you get access to Ubuntu. So not only do you get package install access to a wide range of software, which is, frankly, their catalog is about as big as Debian's, you can also download anything that will run on Ubuntu 18.04 and run it inside Nomad BSD, which is pretty cool. So you get the best of both worlds, frankly. Well, here recently, I've decided on one of my laptops that I'm going to start running Triskel 9 again, doing an evaluation of free software. I recently tried to run Geeks version 1.3. They have a new version out, or have had a new version out for a while, and I was pretty impressed with that. It will allow you to build a desktop in an encrypted install, download everything from the network and set it up for you. Did a great job, except I'm not too sure about, I had a little trouble with a couple of the packages that I tried to install, and I could have gotten around that, but decided that for the commercial support end of it, maybe the best thing for me to do would be to go back to a systemd type operating system and run Triskel. And a lot of you are asking, why would I be wanting to use closed source proprietary drivers in something like Triskel? Well, I like Triskel because it's a very stable, well-vetted, well-debugged operating system, just like I like Debian. You know, Debian is essentially recycled Debian, where they've had one more look at every package and got another chance to iron out all the bugs. So really, Triskel 9 is like a super Ubuntu 18.04. It is. It's a super Ubuntu 18.04 without any of the proprietary drivers. So anything that ends up being proprietary would be something that you add on there. And I found that a lot of Triskel's software, of course, from the 18.04 era is pretty aged. So I decided to then take Geeks and install it on Triskel, which you can do from the Geeks website. There's like four commands you issue to get the Geeks daemon set up and populated, and then go onto your user account and do a Geeks-pull to have it compile. I like to have all my software compiled to fit Triskel. So during the install, I refuse to accept native binaries and the signature keys for them, thus indicating to the system that I wanted to compile everything that installed. Geeks acts just like package source that you would use with NetBSD, and it's really, in my opinion, the Arch Linux of package source. That's what Geeks is. It's the Arch Linux of free software package source. Only their architecture is fantastic. They allow you to install multiple versions over time of various software. Like, you could have two or three versions of Emacs if you decided you needed that. I decided that the Flatpak version on Triskel was too old. Even the one that was available through Utonia backports is too old. So I am installing Flatpak via Geeks, which is going to be the latest version of Flatpak. And that way I can download some Flatpaks, because Triskel 9, unlike Triskel 8, does support Flatpaks now, so you can use that. So anyway, I hope you can hear the water running and everything. I'm not going to edit or smooth up this audio too much. It's as I say, it's been recorded in the Linux volume of the Google Chromebook Go using the Google Chromebook Go's natural microphone. It's not a special microphone. I find the audio and video of the Chromebook Go to be superior to anything else I own. It just is. The next best video and audio that I have is on a cheap $183 Dell I bought 2 or 3 years ago. It's like a college student entry level type notebook with CD-ROM DVD burner built in. It only has 4 gigs of RAM, and that's what I've installed Trisco on. And I'm using a plug-in USB dongle to get access to the OpenBSD Wi-Fi router that I run in this house. And I'm currently installing Geeks to that. It's an N3700 processor with 1.6 gigahertz gigahertz of speed, so it's rather slow. But it gets the job done. It only has a 500 gigabyte hard drive. I don't need much. Because I find even on the Chromebook, if I need extra file space storage, I'll just use the Fuse file system, the Fuse SSH file system, to create a share to the one of the 8 terabyte drives that I have on the OpenBSD server, and I'll create a large enough volume for me to play in if I need extra space to do something on my Google Go Chromebook or my Trisco install on that particular Dell N3700 equipped laptop. So, and that works well around the house. It's not too great on the road, of course, as you know, because bandwidth is going to be an issue. So there you have it. And I don't really have anything else to report other than we just got the news today that Netanyahu is out. He's finished as the Prime Minister of Israel. That happened today. It is the 14th, I believe, Monday, isn't it? Yeah, Monday the 14th. It's about 7:40 p.m. here in the state of Oklahoma. And they also had some news about Biden getting lost at the G7 summit and wandering around like he didn't know where he was at. I really don't know that we're going to have President Biden much longer. I'd be surprised if he lasts till Christmas before they go ahead and put Kamala Harris in there. I really would, because I think he's heading for the nursing home, folks. So anyway, squirrels have to take a bath. I hope you've enjoyed this Bath Time podcast, and I'll be publishing it to Hacker Public Radio as another first for Hacker Public Radio. First squirrel to do a podcast on Hacker Public Radio from a bathtub with water in it using a Google Chromebook Go. Now that's got to be a first. No one else has ever tried that. Bye-bye for now, humans.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.